Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 22, 2021. Why do we strive to unite involuntarily? Question: to the extent that the people of Israel strive for connection, they will inevitably serve as an example to the people of the world and will force them to strive for it too. If everyone strives to unite involuntarily, then why is it necessary at all? Answer: involuntarily because we are originally created as egoists. We, as a proper sensor, should consist of two opposite parts. And then between these opposite qualities we will begin to capture some phenomenon. For example, there must be a contrast between darkness and light, according to which we can feel something. So is our egoism. If it is properly attuned for us, feeling the opposite altruistic quality to it, then between them we can determine where we are. Therefore, we just need to develop altruistic qualities in ourselves and, in accordance with our egoism, use both qualities in order to correctly navigate the spiritual space. From Cab TV's Ask a Kabbalist, March 20, 2019. The only way to get closer. Question: how does intercultural ideology help the personal spiritual development of each individual? Answer: it helps us to rise above all differences. I held classes with students in Los Angeles and wondered how they communicate with each other. One of them is black, the other one is yellow, the third one is white, this one is wrapped in a Muslim headscarf, and that one walks with the Star of David. They answered my questions by saying, "You know, we do not notice this. Today, this may no longer be the case." But, in those years, they said, "We have become so accustomed to each other and we communicate so closely with each other that all those external attributes do not bother us." Comment: one of the advantages of that kind of society is that immigrants are a source of knowledge and a qualified labor force. They bring new tastes, styles, music, culture, as well as the opportunity to learn different languages and religions. But all of these cultural and scientific interests within different nations disappear as soon as conflict arises. What interferes with them? It seems that there has been an upbringing in which billions are invested and, nevertheless, we can see what is happening now, for example, in America. My response: this upbringing is wrong. Nothing will help. The mistake is that they have not been taught how to get close to each other in the right way. Everyone is given freedom in all respects, and they believe that they have found the right way to get closer to each other this way. This is wrong. Nature only has one way of getting closer, which is for a person to rise above his nature and prefer to be in connection with his neighbor, above his egoism. This should be taught. This should be introduced gradually. Without changing human nature, it is impossible to solve anything. We are approaching this eventuality today. We must understand human nature, otherwise we will not survive. From Cab TV's Communication Skills, October 16, 2020. Means for attaining the Creator. Question: can a Kabbalist raise himself above both the sensation of suffering and the sensation of pleasure? Answer: yes, this is the middle line, when he doesn't depend on either one. We need to yearn for that. Question: and what happens? Am I enjoying or am I suffering? Answer: for me, both pleasure and suffering are means for attaining adhesion with the Creator. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 18, 2018. We do not disappear. Question: I do not exist, there is only the Creator. On the other hand, do I exist only when I am different from Him or when I merge with Him? So, do I exist or not? Answer: we exist. There is no doubt about that. But in what way can we connect with the Creator? To do this, we must create a special organ of sensations in us, that we'll be able to feel something outside of us. The Creator is outside of us, we do not feel Him now. That is why I have to understand how to exit myself. That is, exit the egoistic quality in which I am now into the opposite, altruistic quality, which I develop inside me. If I possess those two qualities, I will be able to feel the Creator in me and become similar to Him without vanishing anywhere or disappearing. That is, I am an integral and eternal element of creation, we do not disappear anywhere. From Cab TV's Ask a Kabbalist, March 20, 2019. A torn picture. Why is there a condition to cover all transgressions with love? It is because the vessel of the common soul created by the Creator was shattered and the egoistic desire entered between all its pieces. Each piece is wrapped in egoism that does not allow us to feel the connection between each other. Therefore, our progress is determined by how much we recognize our natural rejection, inability, and unwillingness to feel the others. To the same extent that we are distanced from each other, we are distanced from the Creator, because my attitude toward the Creator cannot be better than the attitude toward the Ten. Therefore, all work relating to the Creator is done only in the Ten, and the connection with the Creator is the connection between the Ten Friends. This is the only way to evaluate our true state. To the extent that I am devoted to my friends, I am devoted to the Creator. That is, I am ready to nullify myself and exist within my friends and within the Creator. The main thing is to show each other in every possible way how we yearn to get closer to each other in the Ten, so that our devotion is visible to everyone. By playing and showing the right example to each other, we will eventually truly achieve devotion. We live in a world of lies, and therefore, the game is a serious matter that leads us to the truth. We play being in a good relationship and attract the surrounding light with our actions. Our love is not real, but the light is also not real, it is surrounding light. It shines upon us, from afar, and everything seems to be not real but only a game. However, through this game, we awaken the Creator to play with us. In fact, we are egoists, but we play out devotion, love, and bestowal. And since everything from our side is kind of pretending, the Creator can be cunning with us, hiding His true state and influencing us with the surrounding light. This is how we can reach some similarity to each other. It may be not a real connection yet, neither on our nor His side, but it helps us get closer and reduce the distance between us. In this way, we receive more and more influence from the Creator and gradually change our force of reception to bestowal. Instead of feeling the Creator as a general force of nature, we begin to feel the influence of His force of life and strengthen the connection with Him. I am for my beloved and my beloved is for me. It is like I've received a photo that someone has torn into many pieces and I want to put them back together to see who is in it. In order to complete this puzzle, I need to correctly imagine what I want to see from the very beginning. I do not know what this force really looks like, but I know that it brings good, fulfillment, puts everything in order, and stands behind everything. I see this force behind everything that happens in the world, behind each of my friends. It is necessary to connect together all the types of shattering that exist in our world, put them together in one picture to see the manifestation of a single force behind everything. By connecting with our friends above all our shattered states and covering all transgressions with love, we create an image of the Creator within our connection. The soul devotion is the devotion to this work, to the friends, to helping everyone, and feeling like a representative of the Creator, ready to contribute all my strength, desires, and abilities to reinstate the true picture, to collect all the pieces into one whole. This is the mission of the last generation living in our time, obliged to reveal the one unique and unified force standing behind this picture, behind all actions. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, January 17, 2021, Love Covers All Transgressions. My new article on LinkedIn: The Nature of Inaugurations and Unity Speeches. Joe Biden's inauguration speech was all about unity. He said that his whole soul is in bringing America together, uniting our people, and uniting our nation. The viewers on YouTube were not convinced. An hour later, Biden signed a slew of executive orders that totally reversed Trump's policies. 4 years ago, Donald Trump's inauguration speech also called for unity. But as soon as he took office, he started draining the swamp, as he called it. Basically, he did everything he could to undo Obama's goals and efforts. You can have an opinion about which policy is better for America or better for the world, but if unity is not at the top of the list, you need to know that you are supporting the wrong policy. The era of dominant ideologies that dictate policies is over. We have become too intertwined the world over to be able to champion one side or one ideology and oppress others. We have become one body. If the left hand is busy tying up the right hand, then both hands can't function and the whole body cannot work, eat, or do anything at all. But if it is to the contrary, and both hands are free and work together, then there is no limit to what that body can do. Globalization means mutual dependence. However, it also means mutual support. The former happens naturally, as products and food are produced in multiple countries and production chains become multinational. The latter can only come through conscious and continuous efforts, since our natural tendency is to support only ourselves, and it takes realization and acceptance of our interconnections to willingly support one another. Yet, today, only if we support one another can we have a decent life on Earth. Think of your hands, again. If you need to scratch your head, one hand can do it while the other one does something else that benefits the rest of the body, such as holding a cup of coffee. If the hands quarrel over which of them will scratch and which of them will hold the coffee, we will remain itchy and thirsty indefinitely. Currently, humanity, and the United States, have bigger problems than coffee and an itchy head. The lives of millions of people are on the line. COVID-19 is raging throughout the US, and throughout the world. The global economy is in free fall and worldwide hunger is a real and imminent danger. Bickering over power seats is infantile at such times, yet this is exactly what our leaders are doing, all over the world. A correct policy today must encompass the entire nation, exclude no one, and forge solidarity and a sense of brothers-in-arms camaraderie. Indeed, we are at war. We are fighting against the virus. We are fighting against hunger, and we are fighting against poverty. But most of all, we are mainly fighting against the hatred that's exploding among us. This is our real enemy. If we could reverse hatred and realize the benefits that each individual can contribute to humanity, we would realize how senseless it is to hate anyone, how it compromises our own abilities as a society and as individuals, and how it jeopardizes our future. Unity will not be built by politicians, but rather by regular people. Politics, by definition, aims to divide. If it aimed for unity, there would be no need for so many politicians, since everyone would be united. By setting us off against each other, they divide us, and make each of us support a different party. As a result, we give them power, and they give us more hatred of each, so that we will give them even more power. This is why we should not expect politicians to reconcile the people. We must break this vicious cycle by ourselves, decide that hatred is unwanted here, and start exploring how we can work together to build a more united nation, and a more united world. Abraham, the Great Reformer. Question: who taught Abraham? Why did he become such a wise man? Answer: Abraham is the 20th in the line of disciples starting from Adam. Adam lived 5,781 years ago and passed on the spiritual method through his disciples through 20 generations until it reached Abraham. There was nothing special about Abraham except the fact that he found himself in a state where the entire Babylonian people, who were comprised of various tribes, suddenly felt an explosion of egoism, and people hated each other. Then Abraham started to investigate this phenomenon and came to the conclusion that it was due to a sharp increase in egoism and that something must be done about it. He revealed the method of correction, where it is necessary to build a system of connections above the egoism. He began to call all the Babylonians to this. Since he was a great priest, some of the Babylonians listened to him and followed him. Later, he took them from Babylon to the land of Israel, but most of the people remained there and later scattered around the world. Abraham was a great reformer. He gathered a group that sought to reveal the single force of nature in the connection between them, and those in whom this need did not develop, remained in Babylon. From Cab TV's Ask the Cabalist, March 20, 2019. Michael Lateman, on Quora: is life a dream or reality? We are unaware as to whether what we now perceive is real or a dream. What if we are in a dream and cannot wake up? It appears as if we live in a certain reality, but how do we really know whether such a reality is a dream in relation to another reality? Perhaps there is a new degree of awakening that we are developing toward, where we will see our entire past as if it were a dream. Moreover, we spend about a third of our lives sleeping in our current reality. How, then, do we know whether or not we are sleeping now in relation to a higher reality? We thus need to examine how to shift from our current state to a higher state, and attain a new awareness of ourselves and the reality we exist in. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a method that lets us reach such an attainment. Until we rise to a higher perception and sensation of reality, we will be unconsciously locked in a dream, without the ability to wake up and begin to live. Everyone has experienced dreaming. Very simply, we fall asleep, we dream while we are asleep, and then we eventually wake up. Likewise, in relation to the spiritual world, our entire corporeal existence is considered a dream. The more we rise spiritually, the more we discover dreamlike states in relation to higher awakened states. The wisdom of Kabbalah provides us with a method by which to continually rise up the spiritual ladder of higher and higher consciousness. If we accurately apply ourselves to the method, we then climb this ladder, each time waking up from our current dreamlike state into a higher, more conscious and more aware state. This is why Kabbalists wrote about our current reality that they were as dreamers. Based on the Daily Kabbalah lesson on November 25, 2010, Body and Soul. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman. My article in Newsmax: Israel's future does not depend on America. Israel had a unique period of concessions with the Trump administration. The direction and policies regarding the Middle East of the new U.S. administration remain to be seen. What we know for certain is that the destiny of the Israeli nation cannot be conditioned upon one leadership or another. Israel's future depends solely on our unity. The Trump legacy for Israel includes moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and recognizing Israel's sovereignty in the Golan Heights. Under his watch, America left the Iranian nuclear agreement and imposed sanctions against Tehran. In addition, the Abraham Accords were signed to normalize relations with the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan and Morocco. One may question whether America's friendship is now uncertain, if most of the agreements will be reversed, and particularly if the Iran deal will be re-established. But in fact, Israel depends solely on one thing for her security: the power of connection. Foremost Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag wrote, "Social unity can be the source of every joy and success, the freedom. The only thing to cause arrest, delay or interference with Israel's good connection is the separation and alienation between us." As our sages wrote, "We are commanded in each generation to strengthen the unity among us, so that our enemies do not rule over us, since when there is love, unity and friendship between each other in Israel, no calamity can come upon them. Our sages also said that all of Israel are responsible for one another, Sanhedrin 27b. In other words, the level of connection among the people of Israel is outwardly reflected in the political, social, and security situations. Connection is the only thing that can redeem and protect the people from trouble and affliction. For a long time now, the world has been one global village where we are all interconnected and interdependent. Subconsciously, the nations feel that we, the people of Israel, hold the key to happiness. However, the shirking of our historic role and the neglect of implementing the method of connection in our relationships invoke hatred upon us, from the rest of the world. Specifically, only unity and unfounded love among us, can lead us, to congruence with nature's system, and only then will the peoples of the world recognize Israel's merit. As it is written in the Book of Zohar, with this composition, which is the Book of Zohar, they, Israel, will come out of exile with mercy. Now is the time to rediscover the national love that was instilled within us, since the time we were on our land as a nation among the nations, Rav Yehuda Ashlag, the nation. We must resolve that from this moment on, we will begin to treat each other as brothers, in thoughts, words and actions. Let us begin to cultivate the principle of mutual guarantee between us, de facto. As soon as we get this connection flowing, we will see how powerfully it impacts our everyday lives and how it can truly change conditions for the better. In this way, we will gradually become as one man with one heart, and our security and good future will be guaranteed. Then the Israeli nation will be truly independent and will become a beacon of hope for the entire world, which will fulfill our historic role and purpose. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what exactly is our soul and what does it add to us? We exist on the animate level out of four levels of the receptive desire to enjoy, still, vegetative, animate and speaking, human. Within such a desire emerges a desire to give, or in other words, a desire to enjoy from the quality of giving. That desire is called the point in the heart. Indicative of its name, the point in the heart is tiny, and it has no area in which it can enjoy from bestowal. It is surrounded by the heart, which does not mean the flesh heart within our physical bodies, but the receptive desires to enjoy in all of its corporeal manifestations, for food, sex, family, money, honor, control and knowledge. By developing the point in the heart via the influence of the forces dwelling in nature, as described by the wisdom of Kabbalah, we can develop a desire to give above our inherent receptive desire to enjoy, and by doing so, feel pleasure from giving. The soul is the quality of giving in and of itself. It is written about this quality that the soul is a part of the Creator from above. In other words, the soul is the extent to which we resemble the Creator, which is the pure desire to give. The soul thus adds to us a giving intention above our inborn receptive desires to enjoy, which gives us access to the eternal spiritual world, concealed from our corporeal senses. While we have yet to attain even the tiniest extent of the quality of giving, we remain at the corporeal animate degree, with no knowledge or attainment of the true eternal reality that we exist in. Based on talks with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman, written, edited by his students. Michael Leitman, on Quora, does Satan exist? The word for Satan in Hebrew stems from the word for deviation, sateh, that is, that it is a force that diverts us away from the spiritual path. This force is the human ego, which is a desire to enjoy on account of others and nature. It exists within each and every person, and incites us at every moment with the desire to receive for personal benefit alone. Essentially, this is a force at the basis of our entire corporeal world. It governs over us until we correct this state. Moreover, we cannot get rid of this force, we can only correct it. Correcting this force means rising above it by drawing the opposite, creative force of nature, the force of bestowal, love and connection. Performing such a correction requires a method. The method for undertaking this correction is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. It explains how and why the egoistic force appears in us, where it is leading us, and the purpose for all the suffering and pain that it gets us into. It also provides a method for how we can rise above it in order to enter into a new harmonious reality. Based on the talk, News with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on November 23, 2020. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Hell, purgatory, and paradise await us. Question: psychologists believe that a person always looks back, agonizes over his past, and cannot break free of this. People dwell on their mistakes and what they should have done differently. They feel the pain of it over and over again and are unable to break free from this vicious cycle. We have a letter from a lonely, elderly woman who writes about how frightening and lonely it is to live, particularly in this pandemic. She is home alone, unable to escape the thoughts of her past, her divorce and two abortions, one because of her career and the other when she decided she was too old to give birth. She writes, "And here I am alone, it is cold outside my window, cold inside, and I feel terribly cold in my heart, and the thoughts of my sins and mistakes, there's no escaping them." What can we say to her? After all, she is constantly looking back to the past and lives in this past. Why are we given all this suffering? Answer: the fact that a person agonizes over the past, this too is a correction. Don't worry, there was nothing personal about it. Question: how can a person understand this? Answer: it is impossible. Here you need to work on yourself. It is practically impossible for an ordinary person to agree with the Creator. Comment: but it will make my life easier if I understand that this was not done by me, that I was led this way. My response: you cannot just do it, turn on some kind of switch. Comment: true, you cannot. My response: this is given to her on purpose. These are not her thoughts, not her feelings. All these sensations must pass through her system, through her body. And in this is her redemption, in a way. Question: is this given to a person for correction? One must go through it, relive one's life again, come back, and realize that he's made many mistakes. Although it wasn't him who made them. Answer: it was not him who made them, and neither is it him who is now trying to condemn or justify all this with his consciousness. None of it is him. Never mind. But it all goes through him, so let it happen. Question: why is it considered prohibited to look back to the past? Answer: because there is no sense in it. Question: can people convince themselves that there is no sense in looking back to their past and stop doing it? Answer: you will still look back until you correct yourself. Until when? Until one fully agrees with the Creator. And this is complete adhesion with the Creator, for everything, for the past, for the good and bad, for absolutely everything. When one justifies the Creator absolutely in everything, this is the final correction of a person. Question: you mean a person must come to this truth to fully justify? Answer: yes. To completely agree. Question: with what has happened and what is happening now? Answer: yes. This is called the complete correction of one's egoism. A person should not look back. He should not agonize or reproach himself for something he did, and at the same time, not praise himself for anything. In other words, one should not keep account of when he did something well or of times when he did not do so well. Question: so my life was either of a hero or of a sinner? Answer: my life is not mine. And now, finally, I can say that what I have lived was not lived by me. It went through me. But it wasn't me. That's how I was led. My life, this is how I saw it in my dreams. It wasn't me, it all passed like a dream. Therefore, we have to agree with it, nothing else is required. Only to agree, And this too doesn't matter either. Whatever is done to a person is done. And what he feels during it is what he feels. It is not him who feels it, but what is felt for him, in a way. Question: then tell me, please, in conclusion, what is our life? Answer: our life is a form of existence of protein matter. Question: really? Answer: we still take from this life its remote memories, impressions. And we keep going. A great number of small grains of egoism, that is, corrupted desire that the Creator created, gradually go through purification, correction, and unification. Question: so these little egoisms, the 7 to 8 billion that are out there, they live their lives precisely in order to come to this? Answer: hell, purgatory, and paradise, like Dante's. Hell is a feeling, a recognition of one's egoism, its insignificance, and everything else that we can add here. Purgatory is when a person tries to correct it, to purify it. And paradise is when one turns one's egoism to work in the service of others. These are the three stages we have to go through. Question: so with all our lifetimes we are approaching this last, third stage? Answer: yes. Therefore, if people understand what these three stages are, hell, purgatory and paradise, that is, the comprehension of egoism, its correction, and its proper usage, then everything is fine. We will keep trying. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, December 14, 2020. Each with his own truth. Comment: it has been said that lies are in the foundation of creation, in our desire to receive. My response: sure. If I think about being happy, I have only one goal in mind. I don't care if it's true or false, it's important that I feel good. I have a completely different orientation, a completely different attitude. And so in this state, everyone is with their own truth, and everyone seems to be right. If we tried to figure out what is more important to each and every one, then everyone will have something different. Comment: indeed, for some, freedom is more important, for others, equality. Therefore, it turns out that there are right and left in the world. My response: and the most important thing is that they do not understand each other. They don't understand that there is something in common. They don't want to come to this common ground. Question: what does Kabbalah say? Is there something in the middle? Answer: there is an upper. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, April 22, 2019. Torah, original or translation? Question: does one need to read the Torah only in the original language? Is it pointless to try to understand the meaning of the Torah and the Book of Zohar as it is translated in Russian? Answer: it is pointless to read the Torah both in the original or in translation because man will not understand what it really wants to tell him. In order to study the Torah in any language, one must first study Kabbalah. Then we will understand the meaning hidden in the Torah. From CAB TV's Ask the Kabbalist, March 20, 2019. Maxim or final correction? Question: which state is deeper relative to the previous ones, crossing the maxim or final correction? Answer: final correction, of course. Crossing the maxim is a very serious stage, a breakthrough in the development of a person, in the development of the soul, but you cannot compare it with what comes later. The maxim is what is now before us, the first degree. And deeper and higher is that which is closer to the Creator. From CAB TV's Ask the Kabbalist, December 31, 2018. My new article on LinkedIn: the biggest worry about us, Israel relations. Today, Wednesday, January 20, 2021. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be inaugurated as President and Vice President of the United States. The US has been in decline for decades, but recently, it has accelerated to such a pace that it is threatening to bring about a complete collapse of the once mighty superpower. It is rarely acknowledged, but Donald Trump did a lot of good for the American economy under the conditions he was in. I doubt that another president would have done better. Be that as it may, Trump is going and Biden is coming, and the world is in for some very tough times, and especially Israel. How tough? Suffice to say that in my view, the question of continuing the reception of $3.8 billion in military aid from the US is not Israel's biggest worry. And not because three quarters of it are spent on us, made products. Israel's biggest worry is that the incoming administration has no interest in the existence of the State of Israel whatsoever. This is our biggest worry, and with our wobbling government, I'm not sure how we will be able to handle it. Yet, since there is no bane without a boon, the approaching plight might actually present a great opportunity for Israel. This is our chance to realize that we cannot rely on foreign aid indefinitely, that we must find within the strength to repel outside enemies, through our unity. In other words, I hope that since we have no choice, we will finally realize that only our union is a lasting pillar we can rely on, that this is our only weapon against aggressors. When you look at the world today, with all its enlightened nations, you will not find one country that does not hate us. Including those who haven't verbalized it, but soon will. Moreover, if we were connected, we wouldn't be facing the predicament we're facing now. Instead, there would be more peace agreements such as we have seen recently, and no one would even want to interrupt or cripple them. But now that the US is collapsing, Israel will dive down with it. Without America's support, we will go down in a free fall right alongside America. That said, if we had spiritual powers, the spirit of unity would fortify us, and no harm would come to us. We would not need any foreign money or aid of any kind. After we fall, the collapse is certain to awaken us. The price we will have to pay over many years is too high to express. I truly hope that we will still manage to awaken people so that they want to achieve correction in a calmer way. My true wish is that they will see the necessity of connecting without the suffering that's lurking right around the corner, but for now, I don't see that it is even possible to talk about it, that anyone is listening, understanding, or feeling anything in that direction. No one understands that we have no choice but to unite. The obtuseness in people's hearts and minds is so thick that it seems impossible to penetrate. We are like a child standing baffled in the middle of a highway with a truck speeding toward him and with no sign of slowing down. I am screaming for the child to get off the road, but he can't hear me. This is the state of our nation, this is the state of our people. My new article on LinkedIn: Europe's collapse, a reflection of the world. Look at what is happening in Europe. The Dutch government resigned in its entirety over a childcare subsidies scandal, the Italian government is on the brink of collapse, Germany's Chancellor, Angela Merkel, is stepping down and the political future is uncertain, and Estonia's Prime Minister, Jüri Ratas, resigned over a corruption scandal and his government collapsed. If this is not enough, in Belgium and France, violent riots broke out as immigrants and members of radical political groups smashed windows, torched cars and a police station, and injured dozens of law enforcement personnel. Besides all the above, the coronavirus is spreading like never before, claiming thousands of lives each day despite the vaccines and the closures. This is not a coincidence. We are experiencing the integrality of the world, its inexorable interconnectedness. We are dependent on each other on every level. COVID-19 forced us to acknowledge that contagion anywhere is contagion everywhere. Now we have to advance to the next phase in our awakening and realize that a crisis in anything is a crisis in everything. The coronavirus wrecked the global economy, tore up the society in countless countries, and as a result, governments are falling apart. This is all part of the same process, the collapse of the old, individualism-driven world, which is now crumbling in a global domino effect. The crisis is everywhere. The global interdependence behooves global coordination and collaboration. It only makes sense that if we are dependent on each other, we will cooperate in order to make things better for all of us. While many have already realized that we are dependent on each other, this is not enough. Now we must also realize that we are responsible for one another. Currently, countries are behaving like mountain climbers scaling an impossibly steep cliff. They realize that they are all tied together, but instead of using their mutual dependence to help each other to the top, they are trying to tear the ropes that hold them together and climb on each other's head on their way to the top. Any novice climber will tell you that there is only one result that such an attitude can yield, and it is not a good one. The only way up is together, by watching out for one another, making sure that everyone has a good grip on the rock, and that if someone slips, the others will hang on until he can find his footing again. The escalating global mayhem should teach us that we are in absolute interdependence and there is no point trying to take down any country because we will all go down with it. Look at what happened in the presidential election in America. Suddenly, we realize that everyone is meddling with the election in America, Russia, China, Ukraine, Iran, as well as other countries. There is no point pretending that we didn't know. It can't be any other way. If what happens in one country influences all the other countries, naturally, those other countries will want to influence what happens everywhere. Everyone does it to everyone, so there is no point pretending that it doesn't happen. The problem is that such a game can last only so long, and we are nearing its end. The spiraling collapse of governments and societies indicates that we are nearing a total breakdown. When that happens, we will be left with one of two options. The first, and less likely, is that at the last minute, governments will get a grip on their power hunger and agree to establish balanced connections that are acceptable to everyone and guarantee the well-being of all the countries in the world. The second, and regrettably more likely option, is that the ruthless tug of war will end in total destruction, a nuclear world war. The local collapses of the past months have been warning signs. If we don't heed them, the big one will follow. Test of soul devotion. Each of us has a point in the heart, a part of the divine from above. That is, this point in us is connected with the Creator by a very thin thread, and we need to try to enliven this connection. If I use all my desires, qualities, and all situations in order to strengthen this connection, to expand and make this thread thicker and stronger, and to make this channel active each and every moment, this demonstrates my devotion to the soul. We need to look for our connection with the Ten and the connection with the Creator so that all this comes together in one single point. This will be the real center of the Ten. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 17, 2021, love covers all transgressions. Find out what happiness is. The shattering is revealed within our natural egoistic desires in which we are able to see, feel, and experience. Therefore, we have at our disposal a rich vocabulary for expressing our unwillingness, suffering, misunderstandings, confusion of feelings, all negative feelings. Many novels have been written and many movies have been made about difficult, painful, dramatic situations in which people suffer. We have many words, feelings, and expressions to describe suffering. And there is almost nothing to say about good states. We just feel good and that's it. Why aren't there as many subtleties in happiness as in unhappiness? After all, doesn't one exist against the other? And it is all because we don't understand and aren't able to feel happiness deeply. We don't build good on top of evil. If we did, we would find a lot more words to express love than we currently have. We can talk about suffering endlessly, create entire novels and movies. And the good ending is very short: they hugged, they kissed, they smiled at each other, and the movie ends. The problem is that we don't know what it means to be truly happy. In our world, we do not build the good against the evil so that all crimes are covered by love. If we truly want to reveal love and reveal all the facets of connection, all the shades and sensations in the connection, then we should not erase the contradictions that existed before, but only cover them with love. Then our connection will absorb all the nuances, all the subtleties, that were in the suffering, in the shattering. Therefore, the Creator created a simple vessel, filled it with simple light, and then broke it so that we could reveal how many subtleties there are in this breaking, the many contradictions between us, and the various manifestations of hatred, rejection, and withdrawal. In our world, we only delve into our unpleasant experiences and constantly sort our relations with each other. All this is in order to then cover them with love. We do not have colorful expressions and words for love now, but we can feel it in the same rich colors as suffering, and we will thus reveal the Creator. Otherwise, we have no feelings worthy of Him, no words to express. There is only white motionless light and nothing else. I cannot feel it, I have nothing to cling to in it. It fills the entire universe in equal measure, and I have no way to feel it. Therefore, we must try to combine sadness and joy, evil and good. And then all the rich vocabulary that we have for expressing unpleasant feelings and actions, all the abyss of suffering and discontent, we can project and transfer to positive impressions and feelings of happiness in order to reveal the Creator according to them. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 17, 2021, love covers all transgressions. Physiology is not spirituality. Question: if what has come down to us from written and oral sources is perceived literally and not in the language of branches, then we perceive the masculine and feminine incorrectly, not as a component in a person, but as gender. But we were born men and women. Does male and female egoism exist in each of us? Answer: no, it does not exist. Any person spiritually consists of a male and a female part. There is no privilege of one over the other. It is their right combination that gives us perfection. There are masculine and feminine qualities in every person, and they must be balanced regardless of gender. Our physiology has nothing to do with spirituality. From Cab TV's Ask the Kabbalist, March 20, 2019.